Did you grow up in a household where your mother or father used various methods of getting you up and out of bed each morning? It might have been wakey wakey, eggs in bakey, or the ever favorite up, up, up. And if you were a sluggish riser, it was like getting a bucket of cold water thrown on you. And of course, the light would go on in the room to make sure that your eyes were going to open and stay open. But I gotta tell you, this is exactly what John the Baptist must have been like to the Jewish people of this day. The second Advent candle, which Hallie lit today for us, another purple candle, is the candle of peace. Now, let me clarify this for you. Being at peace does not mean being lulled to sleep or being comatose to the events of the world around us. Peace means waking up and calling upon the Lord and recognizing that He is Lord, and therefore He is in charge. He has a plan for our lives, and He wants us to recognize that. In today's Holy Gospel, John the Baptist's ministry burst in upon a surprised Jewish world. You see, many people have been looking for a sign from God, but they really did not expect it to look like this. Many had wanted a Messiah to lead them against the Romans, but they were not anticipating a prophet telling them to repent. John was a voice shouting across the dreams and perhaps the nightmares of the Judaism of Herod and Caiaphas, the Judaism that told people again and again the story of freedom, but had no idea what freedom would really look like when it came. Some must have thought that John was mad. I mean, they must have thought he was nuts. Here he is in a desert wearing a coat of camel's hair, and he's going around eating what? Locusts and wild honey. Now stop for a second. He wasn't eating bugs. Okay? Locusts was said that it was a carob plant. The pod, break it open, that was the locust that it was called. And the wild honey may well have been wild honey, but it sounds a whole lot better than he's going around eating bugs. But he wasn't eating a regular meal. There was no Denny's. There was no Bobby's. there was nothing like that. So out in the desert, he had to do what he had to do. But they must have thought that he was crazy, because here he's coming out, and what is he doing? He's telling you to repent, and then he's washing people in the river. They must have thought that it was him who was dreaming. But here he was, splashing cold water all over them, and telling them to get ready for the greatest moment in Jewish history, and as I might add, in world history. The bright light, like the parents would put on, that he was shining in their faces, was the story they all knew very well, but with a new twist. You see, every year at Passover time, the people of Israel knew and recited the story of the Passover, the Exodus from Egypt, telling over and over how God rescued Israel from Pharaoh and bringing him through a parted Red Sea and then across the wilderness to the Promised Land. They didn't remind each other that it took 40 years, but anyhow. Along with the creation story, it was the most important story of the whole Old Testament. And the people listening to John would have known it very, very well. But instead of simply hearing words and remembering the story, John was making it real right before their very eyes. He told them they could come through the water of baptism and repentance and be free, leaving behind the world of sin that they were living in, which was rebelling against a living God, and they could be free. They were looking at and going in the wrong direction. John told them it was time for them to turn around and go the right way. That's what repentance means, to turn around and go the right way, changing your life, changing yourself from the things that you shouldn't be doing. It's all about behavior. It was time to stop dreaming and to wake up to God's reality, because somebody was coming very soon. And John was just getting people ready. Now, if somebody came to Douglas and told you that you needed to be getting ready because some incredibly famous person was on their way to pay you a visit, it would only be natural that you would rush around straightening up things in your house and you could be ready to put your best foot forward, right? I know that's what we would do here in church. We would make sure everything was dusted and vacuumed and defumed, all sorts of good things. Well, John was like the messenger or public relations person going ahead of royalty, getting everywhere ready for the one more powerful than I who was coming after him. Israel needed a wake up. Every person within Israel needed to wake up. Someone was coming who would overshadow even John, the Messiah, God's anointed one. One thing he was sure of was that what John had done with water, the coming one would do with Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This promise was a warning too, of course, but more importantly, it was a promise. Our gospel reading this morning points to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3, which we read this morning. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him." Mark also brought in the words from the prophet Malachi in chapter 3, verse 1. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." This was all unrolling, unraveling, and becoming true right before their eyes. And what John was promising was soon going to become a reality. The Lord, who they had been seeking, will soon come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. One of the great promises that Israel had cherished for centuries was that when Yahweh finally made the Exodus story happen all over again, setting his people free once and for all, that would be the time when he would come to live personally with his people. He would be with them, and he would be their God, and they would be his people. We've been singing already during Lent, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. He came as a baby and grew to be a man, the man that was foretold, fulfilling every single prophecy about the Messiah. In the original Exodus story, God's presence lived with Israel. How? As a column of, or a pillar of cloud and of fire. Now was to be similar but different. God's Spirit would live with his people, in people, becoming the air that we breathe, the sacramental bread that we eat, the fire in our hearts. The promise they lived on, John says, is now going to come true. Sadly, they were certainly not ready, and so the need for a wake up. In the very first verse of the Gospel of Mark, we're told what to expect. All this is the beginning of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's Son. Now, God's Son in Judaism in the first century was a title that was used for the Messiah. But things were not that clear at the time. What they had was the voice of one calling in the desert. And the water that he was baptizing people with and he was using to cleanse them, to have them repent. And he was going to prepare the way for the human figure who would make sense, but very disturbing sense of it all. And he would not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. The main thing that Mark, in this opening passage of his gospel, gets us to do is to understand that God would be sending His Anointed One to change everything. Have you ever had a situation where you've had trouble sleeping? And it seems that the night goes on forever. You check your watch or your clock and it's like 2:05, 3:15, 4:05. Ever have that happen? It's not fun, right? Wow. And then just when you start to doze off, the alarm clock goes off. At least somebody doesn't come in and go, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. And it's really morning and you got to get going. There is a wake-up call. Part of this message here is to all of us who are just getting by and going with the flow, almost half asleep. And we can do that. It can happen to all of us during this virus that we just put it into automatic pilot and try to just get on by without having to struggle at all. Well, the season of Advent is for us to see just what it will take for us to wake up and really prepare for the coming of the promised one, Jesus, who will come again. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.